complementary pathways of access of refugees to third countries are an integral part of what the Global Compact will be. On this one, I can be firm. We will request this to be very clearly specified. Now, whether how far we can go, you know, often I'm asked, you know, can we in the Global Compact finally say that, 5% of the refugees have to be resettled? I doubt very much that we will be able to convince states to come to percentages, but I think that we will have to at least extract a firm commitment to utilize resettlement and other forms of legal and safe pathways to protection as part of the compact. And that's why we are trying to put pressure on states in particular to increase resettlement in the CRRF countries, not because they deserve more than others, but because we want to create a model that includes resettlement. Unfortunately, and you know, in this same room just a few days ago, and many of you may have been present, I opened the annual tripartite consultations on resettlement. Unfortunately, we speak about resettlement, which is such an important solution from the point of view of protection and responsibility sharing. We speak about resettlement today and the need for more resettlement at the time when we are moving in the opposite direction in some countries, including in the United States, in terms of levels, not in terms of commitment to resettlement. So I think it's something that we need to speak about with strength and in a very robust manner and continue to remind everybody, and I'm going a little bit further than your question, remind everybody that resettlement is important, including but not exclusively in Africa. And to continue to respond to the previous question by our Canadian friend, your points are well taken. On RSD, of course, one has to be a little bit careful because the population-based determination is what many states want to do in order to eliminate a large number of nationalities only on the basis of nationality from that determination, saying, you know, all these people coming from this country, it's an unfounded claim. You know, we argue many times you have to hear out individuals because even though in certain aspects that country may be safe, from other aspects it may not be. LGBT refugees are a very clear example, or asylum seekers are a very clear example of that manifestation. So I think we need to be a bit careful, if I understood well your question, although I do agree with you that it is important to continuously look at ways to make more agile this whole procedure, because that the long procedures are very detrimental in so many ways. I don't need to go into that. And I just want to make a point on detention, because you seem to imply that we don't do anything, or perhaps not enough. Maybe the latter is true, it's always true, one can always do more. But detention of refugees and detention of asylum seekers in particular is something that we really fight very strongly everywhere. We also have had organized campaigns against that practice. We have strongly advocated for alternatives to detention in many countries. Of course, not always are we successful. That's the nature of these negotiations. But I can tell you only from my modest example, when I visit countries where this happens, I always systematically raise it. From places where this is rather extreme in terms of conditions, like Libya, where I was a few days ago, to countries where the rule of law is much better established and where systems are and guarantees are provided, like some European countries. So we do raise it because it is a very important issue. There were more questions or more, I guess, points made on the importance of including refugees, including urban refugees. Definitely, the question of urban refugees was how they will be included, whether they will be included in the global. of your question. You know, we don't know exactly, because the Global Compact is not something that we approve. It's in the hands of states to do that. I think that in particular, after this consultation, but we need to look more into it, it is very clear that we have to do more to ensure the inclusion, the participation of refugees in responses. And we now see more clearly that we have an opportunity here with the CLRF. So we'll put it forward. We'll put it forward. We need to be smart in the way we put forward so that it can be considered and accepted. But how eventually it will be formulated is something like everything else that states will have to decide. We'll try to push for as much as possible, as we will do in other areas. But I think it needs more reflection. It is not a simple issue. Refugee-led organization, I know, is a proposal that came out of this consultation, very much worth considering, but also to be looked at with a certain prudence, you know, because we must be careful that we don't politicize the response. We must be careful that we don't link the response to the interest of certain groups only at the expense of others. You know, all of us who have worked with refugees know that these are risks. We have to be realistic and not naive in this very important issue. So we will follow up with that, looking at pros and cons, but with a very positive eye for this particular and important matter. And finally, on other UN organizations, I didn't mention this much, but it must be very clear that other